Something with you from the scripture this evening. I hope that it'll be a help to your heart and to your soul. And some meditations we've had seem like the Lord's letting us share in recent days just some little thoughts we've been picking up as we read our own way through the Word of God and different sections and portions as the Lord's led us to. And I want to share with you tonight something. I read several verses tonight. And a kind of a familiar text, maybe not the most familiar. I didn't tell you where, did I? 1 Samuel 14. Amen. 1 Samuel 14. And we'll read about Jonathan and a good battle the Lord let him fight and win, and how the Lord helped him and how the Lord wants to help us tonight. I believe we'll learn this evening. 1 Samuel 14, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, let us go over the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest, in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. The people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor," this is the verse I'm interested for our thought tonight, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." Notice this next phrase, "It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." His armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we'll pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of Philistines. The Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves." The men of the garrisons answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we will show you a thing." Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. There was trembling in the hosts in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earthquake, so it was a very great trembling. The watchmen of Saul and Gibeah Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. They went on beating down one another. We'll leave off. There's a little more to the story. It won't be pertinent to our study tonight, but we'll leave off reading there. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow and ask, Lord, in prayer that you'd help us tonight. You know the weaknesses, Lord, of our own flesh, of our own mind, even of our own body. Lord, I pray that you take us beyond all of those weaknesses, and in our weakness, would you make us strong. Lord, I pray the truths that you've laid upon our heart to share, and Lord, I know they're simple and very practical, but Lord, I pray they would be exactly what the people of God need tonight. Lord, I don't know what they're facing, and Lord, what battles that they're fighting, or mountains they're climbing, or situations that they have found themselves in. But Lord, we know this tonight as we declare, Lord, this truth. It may be that the Lord will work for us tonight. And if not tonight, it may be the Lord will work for us on tomorrow. Lord, I just pray that you, Lord, would grow our faith tonight in that thought that our God is able. And Lord, in your timing, Lord, you'll work all things together for our good and your glory. Lord, may that truth come across tonight in every heart, in every life, every family. And Lord, to this church, Lord, collectively, Lord, I pray we'd see that tonight. And all that you do for us, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We understand in the context of the children of Israel in the Old Testament that they seem to be in a constant battle between themselves and this crowd in our text that Jonathan is going to take on, known as the Philistines. They were rather mighty foes from the days of Joshua and their invasion and conquering of the land of Canaan, and had become a very, very bad thorn in the side of the people of God in the days, particularly of Saul and future David. We understand that this battle would go back and forth between themselves, and what a type that is of battles that we have constantly with our own flesh or circumstances or the world or even the devil that encounters us time and time again. And so we learn from this part of the history of the people of God, there are battles in our life. There are things that we've got to encounter and things we've got to take on and things that we're in constant conflict with that we need the help of God. And there are times that God helped the people of God and they experienced victory over the Philistines. There are other times that Israel, because of their sin and rebellion, the enemy comes against them, and seemingly God does not help them because of things that are going on in the land of Israel. God uses that particular enemy to humble the people of God, to cause them to repent and to get right with God. And that was just a cycle that we read over and over from the days of the judges and then to these early days of the kings of the nation of Israel. In this text, what we find here is that Jonathan, and this is not his first battle with the Philistines, it's not his first engagement, but he seeks here in this text to engage and ultimately to conquer the enemy one more time. And I appreciate Jonathan's tenacity and his valor that he has concerning the enemy in a time, we'll see in a moment, where others seem disengaged from the battle. Jonathan says somebody needs to rise and bring victory by the power of God to God's children. And Jonathan is not content to sit in the shade. He's not content to sit back and let the enemy just ramrod and run roughshod over the people of God. He understands somebody needs to believe God and trust God and engage in with the enemy in this fight and bring a great victorious spirit among the people of God. What we find is Jonathan slips off, maybe no doubt in the nighttime, he and his armor bearer, they make their way toward the enemy that as he's getting ready to engage and seeks to conquer the enemy one more time, then he makes an expression in verse number 6 that we drew your attention to and want to elaborate on for a moment, upon which he is expressing complete dependence upon the Lord, according to what he said, to work for us. Jonathan said, this enemy seems to always be around. And if I've learned anything from what our forefathers have taught us and what I've experienced myself is If we're going to have victory, we need God to work for us. And I want to say tonight, if there's going to be any victory in your spiritual life and in your family or in our church, amen, we desperately need God to work for us. I'm glad we serve a God that's interested in working for us. Amen. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now I'm thankful tonight as we read of Jonathan, what a display he is, what an example he is to you and I tonight. In whatever conflicts have arisen in our life, whatever stands around us tonight, that we can draw from his faith and his confidence and say, if God will work for us, everything will be all right. And we're living in a world, my friend, that has a lot of discouragement and a lot of, amen, as far as the human eye can see and as far as we can feel and as far as we can examine that, amen, there are some battles, there are some situations that are beyond you and I. Amen, but I'm glad tonight if God worked for us, then, amen, according to what Joshua said here, there is no restraint to the Lord. Amen, if God goes working for us, nothing and no one is going to be able to restrain him. Amen, nothing can hold God back when he goes working on our account. How the enemy may, my friend, beat our brains out of our head. Amen, our enemy or our situations may be more than we can work our own way through. Amen, but Joshua said, if God works for us, amen, ain't nothing going to oppose him and restrain him and hold him back from doing what he is capable and desires to do. Ain't you glad we serve that kind of a God tonight? Amen. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've come in dealing with tonight. You don't know what weighs heavy upon my heart and what burdens are upon my mind. Amen. Well, I just come by to tell you tonight, amen, if God worked for us, then my friend, everything's going to be okay. Amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy whispers. It doesn't matter, my friend, what the circumstances say. Amen. We learn from Jonathan in this text that, amen, if God worked for us, we can have that kind of confidence in our God. Amen, that God is able to do the impossible. Amen, I'm interested tonight, amen, in this matter of God working for us. All Jonathan had was a faith in what the Lord may do. He didn't know how it was all going to turn out. Amen, as far as he can see, his own daddy's not interested, amen, in engaging in this battle. As far as he can tell, amen, there are no necessary guarantees, amen, when it comes to this battle that they're fighting. Amen, such as found in the preface to this phrase, the Lord will work for us. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. In other words, you don't know how it's going to go. Mr. Armor Bearer, Mr. Compadre, Mr. Comrade, it may be that, amen, we get in this thing and we wind up slain in the battle. But it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen. In other words, I think Jonathan is saying, I intend on doing everything I can do and everything that I know to do and everything that would be right for me to do, that is what I intend on doing. But it may be the Lord will work for us. And, amen, if I do what I'm supposed to do and God works for us, then, amen, he said, there's no restraining what can be done. Amen, you see, he knew if the Lord favored them, victory would come. Amen, he knew this. I don't believe this is a statement of doubt. It may be. It's kind of like what the, amen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar when, Amen. They refused. They did what was right for them and refused to bow at the image the king had made. Amen. And so they tell Nebuchadnezzar, you go ahead and heat on the furnace up. Amen. You just heat her on up. We're still not going to bow. And king, we believe that our God is able to do and deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if not, in other words, they're saying, we don't know what God's will is in this particular matter. Amen. The only thing we know for sure the will of God is that we don't bow and we don't give in and we don't compromise. But, amen, be it known, we do believe our God is able. And whether or not he delivers us, that's up to him. I think that's the mentality of Jonathan. As though he is saying, I don't know what else is going to happen, but this much I know. Amen, God is able. And if God is willing, amen, then we will stand in victory. And so for a moment, I just want to encourage you. Amen, because there's some things around Jonathan that, amen, say that, amen, maybe God won't or maybe God can't. Amen, but Jonathan in saying it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen, is really saying I'm going to leave all of this in God's hands. Amen, and so I think that'd be a good place for us to get tonight. Amen. Whether it's the political climate and the year of election time that, amen, we're in, we just got to say it may be. Amen. And leave some things in God's hands. It may be your health tonight. Amen. It may be somebody you love that, amen, has gone astray and you don't know how to fix all that. Amen. It's been done. And sometimes you just got to say, amen, I'm going to leave it in God's hands, and it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen, it may be your health, your finances, your spiritual life. Amen, it may be your mind and your emotions and your feelings. That, amen, whatever it is that's come against you, amen, just want to encourage you tonight with those three words. It may be. I don't know how it's going to turn out for you. I'm not a prophet. I'm certainly not a fortune teller. I don't recommend you dial their 1-800 numbers and waste your money. Amen. Asking somebody to read your palm and your cards and your sign. Amen, I don't know about all that. In fact, I don't put any stock in any of that. And if you got a brain in your head, you won't either. Amen, but if you're a child of God, you can have faith. Amen, in those three words, it may be. I don't know how it's going to go, but it may be. Amen, maybe it'll turn out all right. Maybe it'll turn out better than I thought it would. Maybe it'll be better than what the enemy is whispering. Maybe it'll be better than even what God's children think it can be in the congregation. And so for a few minutes tonight, can I say it may be? Amen, it may be. Preacher, how's it going to go? I don't know. Amen, but it may be. This statement reveals much of Jonathan's retained dependence on the Lord in spite of the things that are around him. And so let me give you at least three things I noted just pondering and meditating upon. Amen, some circumstances we find in the text. Amen, number one, it may be in spite of the disappointments. It may be in spite of the disappointments. Now let me say, amen, when it comes to Jonathan's life in the context of chapter 14, I think you've got to understand something that happened in chapter number 13. You see, Saul had been told to wait on Samuel, that Samuel would come and dedicate and consecrate Saul and the people and the army to go into the battle. And without preaching all of that, Saul got impatient because Samuel tarried. And because the man of God didn't come and do as quickly what Saul thought ought to be done, And he got a little anxious and he got a little nervous about what the enemy was doing. Saul engaged too quickly outside of the will of God in that battle. And though God blessed and though God gave victory, when Samuel comes to Saul, he confronts him and engages him in a strong rebuke. In fact, we'll read just two verses. Look in verse number 13 where the Bible said, Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." That does not mean that Saul was going to live forever, but through Saul's sons, his kingdom and his crown would live on. But notice what the Bible said in verse 14. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And so my thought is, what I'm thinking on in light of Jonathan and the one that said, "We're going to go up to the garrison of the Philistines, and it may be the Lord will work for us." You understand, according to what Samuel just said to Saul in the previous text. And my friend, the disobedience of Saul in chapter 13 had cost Jonathan his future crown. Every dream that was wrapped up in what he was going to be, all the ways he was going to lead Israel, lad, and all the ways that he was going to be their leader and govern in that elevated position, because of someone else's failure and foolishness, amen, it has cost Jonathan all of those things. Amen, can I say that must have been disappointing to Jonathan? Amen, there must have been a disappointment, and no doubt, amen, his father has disappointed him. Maybe somehow in his mind there is disappointment with Samuel, the man of God, because of the pronouncement that has been made. Amen, not only against Saul, in particular Saul, but how that was going to affect the very life of Jonathan. Amen, and no doubt Samuel spake for the Lord. And so maybe there's a little measure of disappointment, amen, with what God has done in chapter number 13. Amen, but I tell you what I learned from Jonathan. Amen, he did not allow the disappointments that he faced in one chapter of his life. It may have altered his future. It may have altered desires. It may have altered some vision that he had about his own life. Amen, some of his potential of what he could have been, amen, may have been negated outside of his own, amen, decisions and outside of things beyond his control. Amen, but in spite of those disappointments, when he comes in the next chapter of his life, amen, he says, "I may have been disappointed, amen, but I'm still going to do what I can. I'm going to serve how I can serve. I'm not going to just sit around and bellyache and whine because I've been disappointed. It may be, amen, the Lord will work for us. Who knows? He may let us have a little victory anyway." Amen, and can I say tonight, amen, if you live in life long enough, you're going to be disappointed. Amen, your parents are going to disappoint you, and your children are going to disappoint you, and your pastor's going to disappoint you, and the pastor's people are going to disappoint him. And this thing is so cyclical and circular, amen, when we are let down, and there are going to be times that, amen, you even feel disappointed in in God. You say, oh, not me, preacher. I'm too spiritual for that. Will you pray for the rest of us carnal people? Amen. Because there's been things that, amen, I've wondered, why, God, did you allow this to happen? And God, I know you could have stopped this circumstance or that circumstance. And in our flesh, sometimes we get even disappointed in God. You say, preacher, what do I do with, amen, those disappointments, whether they're, amen, in these relationships or that relationship? Amen. May I say, just stay in the fight. Amen. Don't lay down your sword. Amen. Don't quit just because you've been disappointed. And maybe your life has been altered in ways you, amen, don't like, or you didn't foresee, or, amen, was beyond even your own control. Amen. May I say, God, amen, is still able to work for us. Amen. And Jonathan said, I may have been let down. I may not understand all that's going on. And I know this, there's still an enemy, and there's still circumstances that, amen, I need victory, and God's people need some victory. And it may be the Lord will work for us. So tonight, amen, quit feeling sorry for yourself. I don't believe there'd have been a chapter 14 had, amen, Jonathan sucked his thumb and sat around in camp going, I can't believe my daddy done this. I can't believe the man of God said what he said. I can't believe God allowed that to happen. Oh no, friend, Jonathan, what an example of a man that has experienced, amen, so much disappointment, amen, to ways we probably can't even imagine. Amen, I've never been in line to be the king and the ruler of a nation and have that ripped out from underneath my feet. Amen, but Jonathan had. Amen, Jonathan had. And yet, in spite of the disappointments, he retained his faith in God. You're going to have to learn that as a child of God. Amen. Everything ain't going to go your way. Amen. Not everybody cares about your happiness. Amen. By the way, God ain't even interested in your happiness. If you want to get down to it, amen, God, my friend, he is working in Jonathan's life. Somewhere amidst all the disappointments and somewhere amidst, amen, working through all of that in his own heart, amen, evidently he, amen, refrained, Brother Larry, from any bitterness toward God and said, I'm going to go fight. That is an uncircumcised crowd up there. Amen, they're not just my enemy, they're God's enemy. And I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to stay doing what I ought to be doing. And in spite of the disappointments, amen, it may be the Lord that will work for us. He didn't do what I thought he ought to do, or he didn't do what, amen, I had planned for him to do in the previous chapter of my life. But I ain't going to discard all my faith in God in this chapter. I still need victory. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there. In spite of the disappointments, number two, amen, may I say, Jonathan said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Amen. What a statement of faith. What a statement of dependence upon God. Amen. And I want to say tonight, in spite of not only the disappointments, but in spite of the disaffected. And when this chapter opens up, amen, you talk about somebody that looks like he's sulking. Amen. Old Saul's, he's thrown up under a pomegranate tree. Amen. The Bible used a word in verse number 2 that said, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah. Amen. That word tarried indicates he lagged behind. Amen. He wasn't going all the way. Amen. Was only going halfway at it. Amen. And yet, amen, though he was disaffected, and 600 men with him are disaffected, amen, that is disengaged, and casual and laid back,
Amen. Jonathan said, I'm not going to let these bunch of compromisers, amen, I'm not going to let this lazy casual outfit, amen, hold me back from, amen, taking on this enemy that's trying to wipe us out. Amen. And I'm glad that he retained his faith in God. What an example. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is tonight, when we look around, amen, when we consider the text and then look around in our own life, amen, there are more that are uninterested in the battle. There are more that are at ease in Zion. There are more that are under the shades of the pomegranate trees, amen, than are willing to engage and do and be, amen, what they ought to do and be as a child of God. Amen. But Jonathan said, it may be. I don't know what that crowd's going to do. I don't know if Daddy will even come down here and help me. I don't know if them other 600 men will get off there, a blessed assurance, and get down here in the battle. But you and me, Mr. Armor Bearer, amen, let's go up and see. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Amen. Oh, can I point something out? Amen. Notice where Saul is at. Amen. He's under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. That word Migron, Brother Riley, it means to yield up. Amen. To be on the precipice. Amen. To precipitate that. Amen. He has yielded up ground. Amen. In chapter 13, he got his feelings hurt because, amen, he did foolishly and somebody got on him about it. Amen. And now he's yielding up ground. And now he's on the precipice of victory or defeat. And leaning more on the defeat side than he is, amen, the victory side. Amen. But Jonathan said, if Daddy goes into faith and them 600 men stay yielded up, amen, to a spirit of compromise and liberalism and disengagement and, amen, and loss, amen, Jonathan said, I'm going to try to get on victory side. Amen. And may I say tonight, if you're going to wait for all the crowd to go with you, amen, my friend, you ain't going to have faith in God. Amen. But Jonathan said, it may be. Amen. It may be nobody else shows up. It may be nobody else wakes up. It may be nobody else tries to gain some ground. Amen. But Jonathan said, I'm going to cross over. Amen. I'm going to engage. I'm not going to lay down in defeat. Amen. It may be that the Lord will work for us.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, I'm just waiting on my daddy to come with me. I'm waiting on my wife. I'm waiting on my husband. I'm waiting on my youngins to straighten up. Amen. But what are you going to do if they don't ever do? Amen. Jonathan said, I'm sick of waiting around. It may be, amen, just me and the armor bearer, but it may be the Lord will work for us in spite of the disaffected. Amen. Amen. Saul's at ease and seems uninterested in the battle. Amen. Yielding up ground, more and more ground every day. The enemy's invading. And Jonathan said, it's time somebody try to put a stop to it. Amen. And we'll do what we can and we'll trust God and it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen. I like that. I like that. By the way, amen, you say, well, how do I know if I'm part of that disaffected crowd? Amen. Can I show you something else in verses 1-3? Amen. You know, amen, that you know you're disaffected when you're running with other people that are disaffected. Did you see the priest that Saul has attached himself to? Amen. Look at him there again. Amen. Boy, this here, and I ain't gonna be mean on a Wednesday night. It could get mean in a revival meeting sometime down the way. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli. You remember earlier in the text, earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, and that this character Phinehas is the son of Eli. And Eli did not restrain his sons. and there was evil within the house of God. And the Lord came to Eli and said, hey man, I would have let you be the priest forever. I'd establish you in the house of God throughout every generation. Hey man, but because you've not restrained your sons, and because you've gotten lackadaisical around here, and you've allowed the house of God to be corrupted, he said, I'm taking the priesthood away from you, amen, and I'm going to give it unto another, amen. And now we find, amen, there's one in Eli's line, in Phinehas' line. Phinehas had been slain in battle, and Ichabod was born when Phinehas had died, and word came back, and it was realized that God had rid the priesthood away from the lineage of Eli, and Ichabod's mother named him Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. The glory's gone. They, amen. What we've had, we no longer have. Amen. But now here's one in that line. Amen. He has been disaffected. He's just going through the motions. Amen. He's not even supposed to be what he's trying to be. Amen. But my friend, that's how you know you're disaffected. Amen. You start running with others that, amen, are in as bad a shape or worse than you are. Amen. Amen. Are you running? And we'll see it in Jonathan's life in a moment. Amen. But you know you're disaffected when you look around and everybody, amen, in your life, amen, that you're close to and that you lean on and you get counsel from, amen, when they have no spiritual vitality, amen, when they're out of the will of God, amen, when they're living their life in rebellion, amen, when they become yielded, amen, yielding ground in their life. Amen. When you look around and you see the closest relationships in your life are people that are disaffected, mark it down, you are yourself. Amen. Jonathan said, I ain't running with that outfit anymore. Jonathan said, amen. And in spite, my friend, of those that, amen, seem content to live outside of the will of God, amen, to live in rebellion, to live in disobedience, amen, he said, it may be the Lord will work for us. I don't know what God will do for that crowd up there under the pomegranate, amen, but I know this, I'm going to get in the fight and in the battle, and I'm going to trust that it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen. Boy, we need some Christians like that tonight. In spite of the disappointments, in spite of the disaffected. Number three, and I'm done. Notice with me, in spite of the disadvantages. When Jonathan said, come and let us go over in the garrison of these uncircumcised, it may be the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan, Brother Maurice, I think in that verse when he makes this statement, it may be the Lord will work for us. I think he's a looking around and going, there's so many disadvantages, I don't know how in the world we're going to do. But it may be the Lord work for us, and if God does, our disadvantages will seem as they are advantages. Amen. What disadvantages do you have going on in your life right now? Amen. What are you looking at that is a disadvantage? There's a lot of things Jonathan could have looked around and saw. Amen. There's the disadvantage in the passage. Amen. The Bible said in verse 4, in between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over in the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sina. Amen. There's this rock on one side and a rock on the other. Amen. It's a narrow place, a place of piercing, a passage of pain. Amen. A passage of being uncomfortable. And that name Sina literally means to be pricked by a thorn. They're piercing rocks and piercing thorns. Amen. There is pain on every have, amen, through this passage by which he is walking through. Can I say tonight, amen, in the passage, whatever way you're going tonight, amen, it may seem like a disadvantage, but Jonathan, amen, reminds us to retain faith in God, and no matter the passage and the path that you're on, it may be the Lord will work for us. Right here, literally, between a rock and a hard place. Right here in a place that, amen, every little way we squirm, we feel like something's poking at us. Amen. It may be the Lord will work for us. And if he'll work for us through this disadvantage in this passage, amen, Jonathan said, amen, there's no restraint to what the Lord can do. Amen, not only in the passage, but in the probability. Amen, do you understand that as we read tonight, amen, there are two, amen, Jonathan and his armor bearer against an entire Philistine garrison. I can't tell you tonight how big a garrison is. I can tell you, amen, that when Jonathan climbs up, amen, through this passage and gets there in the camp of this garrison, and in 1/2 acre that Jonathan engages him in, and there are 20 that fall. Amen. Now there's more than 20, but amen, let's just suppose tonight, amen, even 20-2 odds, amen, that's not a real good probability that you're going to make it through that battle. And there are many, many more than 20. In other words, the odds were not in his favor. He is disadvantaged in the probability. You say, preacher, I've sat down and I've done the math and I have figured the equation and the odds are not in my favor. In fact, amen, the odds are ever against me, yet there's no way it's a 1 in 10 billion shot chance that I'm going to overcome this situation. Amen, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the lawyers say. I don't care what the bankers say. Amen, I don't care what hell says tonight. Amen, the odds can be, my friend, stacked up against us. Amen. Jonathan said, amen, if these probabilities, it still may be that the Lord will work for us. Amen. Tonight, whatever the odds are, amen, don't lay down your faith and dependence in God. Amen. That's a disadvantage in the passage, in the probability. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad in that probability, amen, that one of the things Jonathan could have said, you know, two against however many is better than one against however many. Even though the odds were against him, at least there was somebody that said, hey, man, I hear you. Amen. I've heard what you've said. That armor bearer said, oh, Jonathan, you just turn whichever way. Amen. You feel led to turn it. Amen. Do all that is in thine heart. Amen. The armor bearer said, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Amen. Can I say, even when the odds are against you, amen, if you trust God, you know what God will do? Amen, God will put somebody else in your life. Amen, to let you know you're not alone. Amen, to let you know there's somebody else. Amen, you know what that armor bearer said? Jonathan, I was feeling the same way. Jonathan, I had the same thoughts going on in my heart. What are those thoughts? Jonathan just said it may be the Lord to work for us. And the armor bearer said, I was just thinking the same thing. Amen. Amen. You know what a blessing it is when you feel like, amen, the odds are against you. Amen. And then God lets somebody come along in your life. Amen. And they're trusting God the same way you're trusting God. Amen. And it doesn't, my friend, change the odds drastically. But ain't you glad two is better than one? Ain't you glad the people of God, somebody said, amen, the people of God, they'll let you down and they will. Amen, but the people of God are the greatest people I know. I don't find people in the world that say, it may be the Lord to work for us. I don't find, my friend, people, amen, that are God deniers and know nothing about salvation. Amen, that are interested in trusting the Lord. Amen, but I have found bushel loads of God's people, amen, that were a blessing and an encouragement of the faith I had toward God in my heart. Amen. Amen. You say, oh, God's people, they're this and they're that and they're hypocrites. You listen to me tonight. Amen. I know there's a bunch of them that sit under a pomegranate tree. Amen. But get your eyes off them and get your eyes on that crowd whose heart is right with God and whose heart says it may be the Lord to work for us. Amen. Disadvantage is in the passage and in the probability. There's a disadvantage in the plan. I read this. Brother A.L., I'll be honest, I laughed out loud thinking about this. Here's what Jonathan said. It may be the Lord to work for us. That armor bearer said, amen. Do all's in your heart. I've got the same thing in my heart. What are we going to do? And Jonathan gives what would seem to us to be the most foolish, disadvantaged plan a person could come up with. Here's what Jonathan said. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to holler out and tell them we're down here and let them know where we're at. He's giving away at what little advantage he does have. He's just giving away the element of surprise. He comes up with a plan that seems to be disadvantageous. Is that a word? Did I say that? Disadvantageous. Amen. It ain't it is not advantageous, amen, to say, hey, to your enemy, we're down here. What do y'all want to do about it? Can I say, amen, Jonathan said, now, if they say we're going to come down to you and we're just going to stand still where we are and we ain't going to do nothing. But if they say come up hither, amen, then we're going to go up there and that'll be a sign to us God has delivered them into our hand. Right. Jonathan, that don't make a lick of sense. There's two of us, no telling how many of them. We need to sneak up there and put our camo on it. Amen. Get as quiet as we can be and sneak in there and stab them one by one. Jonathan said that ain't the way God said do it. Amen. Well, that seems like it's going to be a big disadvantage. It may be, and the plan may be disadvantageous. Amen, but here's what we're going to do. And I say, my friend, when you study the Word of God, there's some things in God's plan and God's ways of doing things. Amen, His words sometimes don't make sense. Amen, but if you'll just follow God, amen, what looks like to be a disadvantage, amen, is God's way, amen, of showing you that He knows how to work in spite of what the plan looks like. Amen, ain't you glad tonight you say, preacher, I've got instruction from God and it doesn't make a lick of sense. You go with God and you do what God said to do. Amen, because even though it seems like a disadvantage, amen, it is the plan of God that is your advantage.
Amen.
So the Bible said they discovered, both of them discovered themselves. Hey, you bunch of uncircumcised, smelly Philistine dogs. They got talking in the garrison. They said, oh, them bunch of Israelites, they coming out of their holes they've been hiding in. They start sharpening their sword, Brother Larry. Say, come on up here, we'll show you something. Jonathan said, did you just hear what they said? I'm talking about it's a disadvantage. Are y'all listening? They're up there sharpening their swords. They're up there stretching. They're up there doing their calisthenics, getting the sweat worked up, getting ready. It's a disadvantage, except for the fact Jonathan knew we're following the plan of God. And what the enemy doesn't know, what seems like to be an insurmountable disadvantage, is the biggest advantage we have. Amen. See, when you try to do things outside of God's plan and God's word, it may seem like you're getting some kind of advantage, but what you don't know is you're going to wind up defeated in the battle.
Amen.
Amen. A disadvantage in the plan, a lot I could say there, disadvantage in the position. The Bible said when they said, come up after, when they said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. Verse 12, the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer, said, come up to us, we'll show you a thing. Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up. Notice the phrase over and over in this text, come up. There's a disadvantage in position. They've got the high ground. The enemy has the high ground. Can I put it this way? The next verse said, Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet. He's climbing in a, I would argue, a prayer posture. He's climbing. Amen. So the enemy's up there. They're down here. There's a steep, would appear to be a steep embankment. Can I put it this way? You know what they're fighting on? But Jesse, they're fighting on an unlevel battlefield. Unlevel. If you're going to fight a battle, if it's going to be unlevel, you want to have the high ground, not be the one on the low ground. Anybody ever play King of the Mountain growing up? Amen. King of the Mountain, for those of you who ain't ever had that privilege, you get up on something tall and high, amen, and you dare all your buddies and your brothers and maybe even your... Amen, you snuff-dipping sister. Amen, to try to come up there and knock you off the mountain. Amen. Long as you got the high ground, you can take on a whole lot more people because you got the advantage. Amen. It just came to my mind a few years ago. We was on that rafting thing here at the Smoky Mountain Youth Revival. And all them teenage boys said, we're coming for you, preacher. We're coming for you. We're going to pull you out of the raft. We're going to throw you in the river. Said, did you get scared? No. I said, bring it on, big boys. And they did. They got that little part where it slowed down, and they all jumped out of their rafts. And they kept trying to climb up in that raft. Amen. And I did everything I could short of drowning them to drown them and make them think they was going to die that day in that river. But Larry, they never did get me out. You know why? I had the high ground. I had the high ground. I had the advantage. They didn't realize it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They're a bunch of 16, 17-year-old punks. They wasn't pulling me off the high ground. I had the advantage. But you say, preacher, how? Oh, boy, I feel like preaching right here. Y'all are done. I've got to be done. I'm trying. How do you overcome an unlevel battlefield? How do you overcome an unlevel battlefield? How do you overcome that disadvantage? You get on your hands and on your knees. You climb your way to the throne of grace. And your disadvantage begins to be an advantage that it don't matter. There can be an entire garrison on top of the mountain. Amen. You and your armor bearer pleading to the throne of grace will overcome that disadvantage in your life. It may be. I can see as they start climbing, maybe the armor bearer goes, boy, they got the high ground, Joshua. And Joshua say, hey, don't you remember, it may be the Lord will work for us. Just climb on. Just climb on. Child of God, you keep climbing to Mount Zion and get to the throne of your God. Let Him hear your prayer. He may work for us. Verses 14 through 16. You know what the Lord did? The Lord honored their faith. Bible said the first half acre. Now evidently, Brother Gerald, God had to fill them with some kind of supernatural strength. Because the Bible said Jonathan made it a half acre into their camp, into their garrison. And the armor bearer coming behind him, and when all was said and done, 20 men lay dead right there in a half acre. And the rest of that crowd got looking around and went, oh my. About that time, the Bible said that the earth quaked. What was that? That was the fulfillment of the faith Jonathan and his armor bearer had put in their God when they said, it may be the Lord to work for us. And that earth got to shaking and trembling. The Bible said the multitude in that garrison, they began to melt away. They began to turn on one another. Ain't it amazing how many times God did that to the enemy throughout the scriptures? When all was said and done, they didn't say, Jonathan and his armor bearer didn't say, man, did you see them 20 people we killed? When all said and done, the glory is given to God for the earthquake and the way God worked in that enemy's camp. Why? Because God honored their faith by them simply saying, we got all these disadvantages and disappointment, and that disaffected crowd, they don't want to walk through the pain. They don't want to go against the odds. They're not interested in God's plan. They're not interested in getting on their hands and knees and climbing to God and getting His help. But we'll do what we can, and it may be the Lord will work for us. And all was said and done, God gets all the glory. Amen. Child of God, I don't know where you are tonight, church. I don't know where you're at, where your family is, where a multitude of areas of your life may be tonight. But I know this, it may be the Lord will work for us. When He does, there's no restraining Him what He's able to bring us through. Ain't that a good thought? Amen. I know that ain't deep, but amen, it's helped me. It's helped me this week. All right.